Yo, it's your boy Abdul. What's going on, y'all, man? You know what time it is. Playoff time in the league. Matchup set. You know, so I thought we'd take a quick few minutes, go through the matchups, get our first round predictions in as the playoffs kick off tomorrow. Again, I'm excited, man. This is the first time in a while. Feels like it's kind of up in the air. You got Houston out here. You know, don't sleep on Golden State. You know, LeBron's team's always a threat. The Sixers are surprising everybody. You know, Boston still, you know, they still a threat. Not a championship threat, but, you know, dangerous. Toronto's looking to make history for their franchise this year, trying to win their first chip. Can they get out the East? Victor Oladipo's clearly the most improved player on Indiana. They'll have a tough matchup against LeBron. Ben Simmons takes his show on the road against South Beach. Can't wait for that. I can't wait for Joel to get back healthy. And I think one of the sleeper matchups, Portland and New Orleans. You got Dame Dolla, CJ McCollum taking on AD and what's left of his team, really, even though Drew Holiday has been balling, give him props. They're going to miss DeMarcus, but I think that series can go either way. So without getting too much into it, I'm going to start with Houston, Minnesota, the 1-8 matchup in the West. Not going to hold you, man. Minnesota, to me, I looked at them as a team that can compete with Golden State for conference supremacy at the beginning of the year, just based off talent. You got Jeff Teague at the one, exceptional point guard. You picked up Jimmy Butler, one of the top 15, 20 players in the league, two-way player. You got Karl Anthony Towns coming off a 25-12 year, and you got Andrew Wiggins coming off a five-year extension. So I figured you put the pieces together, combine that, you know, with Jamal Crawford and Tyus Jones and, you know, guys of that nature, they should be able to give him some run. But the season hasn't gone that way. I think Houston's going to make quick work of Minnesota just off the experience factor, Chris Paul and James Harden. They know who they are. Their identity is set. You know, they're a shooting team with great ISO players. They move the ball. You know, they play defense, although they will miss Mbah Mute a little bit. So, you know, I just think James Harden's going to be too much for them to overcome, and they've kind of, like, you know, destroyed the Timberwolves all season. So, yeah, I got Houston in four, no more than five against Minnesota. Got them in the second round. OKC, Utah. Man, it's crazy. Both teams finished 48-34. OKC, the four seed in home court by virtue of the tiebreaker. But I think we need to really pay attention to Utah. Since Gobert came back, they have been the best defensive team in the league. And this dates back to January. He is, without a doubt, defensive player of the year, despite missing 26 games. That's incredible. They're giving up less than 100 points per 100 possessions. Basically means they locking dudes up. Even before Gobert came back, they was playing that great defense. But we all know where it all starts and ends for the Utah Jazz, and that's with Donovan Mitchell, who I personally think should be Rookie of the Year over Ben Simmons, even though he won't be. He's been amazing this year. To average 20-plus a game as a rookie and lead your team to the fifth seed in the East and the West, could have been the third seed. It's incredible to win almost 50 games. I just think they don't have enough offensive firepower to hang with OKC. Again, Russell Westbrook, I don't see him being knocked out in the first round by Utah. And then the addition of Paul George gives him another second score. I just think there'd be too much. I think it will go at least 5-6 games. I wouldn't be surprised if it went 7. But, you know, I got experience winning now. And I think Westbrook and those guys are going to be able to knock Utah out without too much stress. Portland's taking on New Orleans, the 3-6 matchup. This can go either way. And I only say that because Anthony Davis is that good. And also Drew Holiday, since DeMarcus went out, has been playing like an all-star. A lot of talk about him making all-defense this year. He's been that great. 19-7 on 45% shooting since their big man went out. So I can't really discount New Orleans. You know, they did get to the playoffs. They are the sixth seed, but they're just as dangerous as any other team at the sixth seed. So Dame and CJ are really going to have to come to play. Their guard play is going to have to do it for them, man. And if those guys have enough cold nights, you know, Pelicans can steal the series. Again, AD's looking for his first playoff win and his second playoff appearance. So it's a little bit of pressure on him. At the end of the day, I think Dame and CJ, I think those guys will be just a little too much. I think they'll be able to take this series in about 5 or 6 games. I'm leaning towards 5 for Portland. Portland's going to move on. And last but not least in the West, you got Golden State San Antonio. It's going to be the most interesting series, you know, just off Popovich is scheming against a team missing their best player. You know, the Warriors still have KD. They got Clay. They got Draymond, you know. So it seems fairly simple that they should win this series. And I do have them winning this series in about 5 games. I do think it's going to be a dogfight. You know, very few teams play Golden State as well as San Antonio. Very few teams defend as well as San Antonio. And you're talking about slowing the game down to half-court setting. Which star will take over? You know, Pop's going to run that offense through LaMarcus all day long. LaMarcus had probably his best season this year. I look for him to bounce back from that horrible playoff performance he had last year against Golden State. And for the Warriors, you know, how fast can that ball move? Is that motion offense going to be successful against a team as disciplined as San Antonio? What's Kevin Durant's role in terms of leading the offense? Are we posting him up? Are we bringing him off screens? Is he going to be playing point guard? You know, all those things have to be answered. I heard the report today, Steph Curry will be back in time for the second round. But I'm going to say this, the Warriors cannot look past San Antonio. They have to come out every game in battle or an upset is possible. Do I think it's likely? No. But like I said, an upset is possible. Golden State in five, though. Take it to the East, Toronto, Washington. 1-8 matchup. You know, Washington, to me, is one of those teams that they're in basketball purgatory. To me, they're the LA Clippers of the East. You know, consistent every year playoffs, second round ceiling. Never a conference finalist. John Wall, he was hurt this year. He's back. You got Bradley Beal and Otto and those guys. Kelly Oubre's improved. Gortat. You got Satoransky. He's been a revelation for them. But again, the Wizards are the 8 seed for a reason. They're inconsistent. They had a nice little stretch run without John Wall. You know, and all the talk about, oh, they might be better without him. They don't need Wall. If Beal could just stop it. John Wall is one of the top 3 or 4 point guards in this league on both ends of the floor. They need him to get to any type of, you know, success in the playoffs, conference finals, finals. But Toronto's just had one of those years. Number one seed in the East, separated themselves from the pack. Their bench is the best in the league, you know, by a wide margin. DeMar, Kyle Lowry, those dudes have evolved their games respectively, you know, to fit the new system implemented by Dwayne Casey. And now they're just as dangerous. You know, Kyle Lowry may not be scoring, you know, the same amount of points, but he's still as potent, still as deadly. DeMar DeRozan's added a more consistent three-point stroke. He's become a more consistent mid-range shooter if it was possible, a better facilitator. You have guys like Fred VanVleet flying under the radar for them, playing excellent defense, coming and running the offense off the bench. DeLon Wright, Pascal Siakam, OG Anunoby, you know, Valanciunas, CJ Miles. You know, all these dudes are contributing heavily for the Raptors, who can go about 10-11 deep. So I do like their chances to get to the conference finals and against Washington. I wouldn't be surprised if it was a sweep. I'm not giving Washington more than a game, though, against Toronto. Go to that 2-7 matchup, Boston-Milwaukee. And here's the thing. Because Boston is so well coached and the players they have left are actually decent and do play hard, it's going to be a, you know, tougher series than most think. Again, without Kyrie and Gordon Hayward, you know, it's going to be a little tough. I don't know who the offense is really going to run through. You can only share the ball so much before stars have to put you over the top. And I just think Milwaukee has that star in Giannis and better supplementary pieces in Eric Bledsoe and Chris Middleton and Jabari Parker and Malcolm Brogdon, you know, Thon Maker. I just feel those dudes are more talented. I feel Milwaukee is deeper with the injuries to Boston. And though Boston's going to be scrappy, I shouldn't, you know, it shouldn't take more than 6 games for Milwaukee to knock them out. I've got the Bucks in 6 over Boston. The 3-6 matchup, Philadelphia-Miami. Philadelphia's in the playoffs, right? But it's not just that they're in the playoffs. They're the 3 seed. Led by who? The probable rookie of the year, Ben Simmons, who I like to call LeBron Light. No, not because he's light-skinned, but his ability to raise the play of his teammates is comparable to one of LeBron James. And on top of that, you got who I already think is the best big man in the game, especially since DeMarcus tore his Achilles, Joel Embiid. The manifestation of the process. Then you got other guys, Robert Covington, J.J. Redick, Dario Saric, and a certain number one pick has made his return to the court, and he's balling out of his mind. The DMV zone, Markelle Fultz, shout out to Kel Fultz. You know, all this talk of, oh, he's hurt, oh, he can't shoot, oh, he ain't helping them, why they take him number one? Chill. Calm down. Rome wasn't built in a day. Ben Simmons missed his whole first season. But you guys are so quick to get on Markelle Fultz. And now look at him. Youngest player in history to grab a triple-double. Going into the playoffs healthy with Ben Simmons. Joel Embiid expected back any game now. Those aforementioned guys I talked about. Guys like TJ McConnell. Amir Johnson. You know, but on the other hand, I'm not going to sleep on Miami. Let me show respect to Miami. Goran Dragic was an all-star this year. They do still boast the services of one Hassan Whiteside, one of the most dominant big men in the game when he wants to be.
It's a lot of versatile wingers on that team. Not really scorers, but defenders, guys who can make plays. Justice Winslow, Josh Richardson, James Johnson's been a revelation for them. I wish they had Deion Waiters this playoffs. You know, I kind of give them more of an edge against Philly, but, you know, again, Kelly Olynyk, guys like that. Miami, to me, is one of the best, quote-unquote, role-player teams in the league. You know, their team lacking a true star, but, man, these dudes on other teams will make them contenders. That being said, in the playoffs, it's about what? The stars, and the Philadelphia Sixers got more of them. Ben Simmons is a stud. He has arrived. And the Sixers are here to make noise in the playoffs. I think with or without Joel Embiid the first couple games, the Sixers have to be the favorite. Sixers in five over the Miami Heat. And last but not least, the 4-5 matchup. You got the most improved player of the year this year, in my opinion, Victor Oladipo. Again, shout out to the DMV, who's had one of the craziest years in the league. And it's more amazing because last year, everyone was saying he was holding the Thunder back. He wasn't, you know, being that second star Westbrook needed. And yet here he is, 24 points a game, league leader in steals, team with the fifth seed in the Eastern Conference as the best player. Don't tell me that's a scrub. You know, and I would give the Pacers a good chance, but the Pacers are going up against who? The Cavs. Who the Cavs led by? LeBron's. Y'all already know the backstory. I don't even got to get into it. LeBron does not lose first round series. And that will not start this year. The Pacers, for as good as they are, they don't boast the firepower. They don't boast the defensive team necessary to really slow down LeBron and the Cavs. Again, Victor's been great, but in the playoffs when it's easier to key in on your main guys and the bench gets a little bit thinner, I think he'll struggle a little bit in the later games. I think the Pacers, though, have made great strides this year. And I don't see them as completely incompetent. I do give them a game, but that's about it. I got Cleveland in five against Indiana. So, you know, for my first round predictions, again, I got Houston over Minnesota, OKC over Utah, Portland over New Orleans, Golden State over San Antonio in the West. And in the East, Toronto will knock out Washington. LeBron is going to continue his first round dominance. The Sixers are going to show that they're growing up faster than you think. And the Bucks are going to take advantage of some bum injury luck to the Boston Celtics. So there you have it. I look forward to hearing what y'all have to say. I look forward to NBA basketball this weekend. AM Breakdown. Check up. Join the discussion.